Crazy Universe on the Worst Little Podcast.
Who wants to be famous?
The biggest little city in the world, the American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Mr. Dowd.
Podcasting live from the recent past and the beautiful Dogwater Studios here in Reno, Nevada. I'm the Reverend Rory Dowd with my co-pilot and good buddy, Mr. Nick Ramirez.
Hello.
We've got Cadillac Kim and Dogwater Dick in the house. No Chewy, no interns. But more exciting than that, we've got a powerhouse of a band here today. We've got the Lazy Universe all day long.
We're talking out of our ass.
Dude.
Can I say how much I love that intro, by the way?
Yeah.
It's so good.
You mean like Rory's performance?
It makes me so happy. No, like the music and stuff.
Thank you, Evan.
Yes, thank you, Evan.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you, Aversion Therapy.
Thank you, guys.
May you long rest in
Damn.
Oh, they did
rest
that?
In limbo.
Yeah, ages ago.
Limbo,
yeah.
In the early shows, Evan had made like one that he made by himself with like computer drums and like not real. And then when they came to record their album, they actually set aside time to record the entire song. There's a full song with lyrics that they did about the show.
That's so nice.
And then I chopped
covered
it down.
Covered on a previous episode.
I chopped it down to be like just the little intro and outro edits. Mm-hmm. But there's a full song with lyrics that goes with that.
I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately, and like what a lot of them are lacking are like good intros. We have a good one. So
a song that really gets you going.
No, like, and it makes me super happy when I hear it.
So. Don and Mike back in the day when they had Can't Stop the Rock, that would like just send my heart through the ceiling. I was so excited that the show was
started. I still have that on a Spotify playlist because it reminds me of the beginning of that show.
And it would just, when that would come on at noon here in town, it was my favorite show. I was so excited. And when that would come on, it would just, my whole mood would change and I could do anything. And that's kind of what we wanted, and Evan helped us with that. So,
yeah. Thank you, Evan.
But if anybody out there wanted to write and submit a theme song, we are happy to entertain it, play them on the air, and judge them for our own edification, amusement.
That's a challenge.
And possibly even for use on a future podcast, like as the intro.
But you will have to fist fight Evan first.
Yeah.
Bring the heat. Bring your A game and write a theme song for us.
You know what I'd like to hear, though, Rick, is that remember when Cole was on the show a couple weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he did that like jingle. He just like made that jingle up on
God,
the fly.
I forgot that was pretty all good. About that.
That was pretty damn good. No, he forgot about it.
No, I completely forgot. And I remember thinking at the time, God, I've got to chop that out.
You really should.
Write that down.
It was
pretty good.
It was really good.
That would be a whole new great genres, improv commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
It'd be fun.
Well, hey, welcome to the show, Stacy and Hudson.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you.
Yay.
So that amazing instrumental was track one off the new album you guys just came out with, right?
That's correct. See.
Available currently on CD, baby?
On July 21st, it'll be available the same night as our CD release party.
The rest of the world doesn't have this yet.
Well, yes, they do because it's like tomorrow. Well, they might.
Well, no, they don't have
Saturday.
It now.
They don't have it now.
No, yeah, this is Thursday.
This show will be out.
It's still a couple days away.
Well, they certainly don't have this beautiful CD with all the lyrics in it that I'm holding in my hand.
Yeah, no.
Those are the promotional copies only for the Worst Little Podcast.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
And thank you for fucking putting the lyrics in your damn CD because
that's
my like favorite thing.
Totally. Yeah. And
it's just a little extra and it means so much to me.
It reminds me when I was a kid.
There's so much time spent on words and I have a really thick tongue. So when I sing,
yes, she does.
I sound like a Milo Bush.
That's what she said.
There's some local bands that I love, some recordings that they did, one that was on the podcast, and I was going to send them an email with the lyrics of what I think they're saying.
Yeah.
Because that's always fun.
That.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then I'm like,
it's like Louie, you know?
I would like to know what you're actually saying, but just so you know, this is what I think you're saying.
That's also like another Warsatch. What is it? Warsatch?
Yeah. Warsatch.
Warsatch, right? Warsatch test. What you think the lyrics are. What do you think these lyrics are? It's a good Yeah, a little window into your psyche.
Yeah, and then they're like, dude, those songs aren't about dicks at all, Rick.
Don't ask me, because I just found out, I kid you not, last year, that it's not called a Jew's harp, as in a Hebrew's harp. It's called a juice harp.
What the hell's a juice harp?
Juice
a juice
harp.
Oh, yeah. A mouth harp.
Okay, that's it. I just want to say, are you sure?
Well, I'm half German. So my first, like, whenever they say I love you in a song, I always thought they're saying, like, I love Jews. Or where do you think you're going? Where do you Jews think they're going? And I always hear Jews.
Because all right, they are the chosen people.
A friend of mine I showed this to Nick on the internet over the weekend. Spit Curl Joe from back in the day, Rick. Is it nobody doesn't like Sarah Lee or nobody does it like Sarah Lee?
Nobody does it like Sarah Lee.
Nobody does it like Sarah Lee.
Because it's a double negative.
Nobody doesn't like. No, nobody Wait, does nobody not does like not Sarah know. Lee. Oh. Nobody doesn't
negative.
Like Sarah Lee.
Double negative, though.
Nobody doesn't do anything.
Hudson.
They're nobody.
Hudson, I
hate nobody can't do anything anyway.
I have to
they
interrupt
have to
all
exist.
This. Yes. I have to interrupt
Wait,
all this because I have pulled up the Wikipedia page for Jew's harp.
I did too.
Okay.
And Ben, it is totally acceptable to call it a Jews, J-E-W apostrophe S
okay,
harp.
Good.
Or a jaw harp, or a mouth harp, or a juice harp.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So all of them are acceptable.
Boy,
an Ozark harp, in case you want to like hate those people.
Wow.
Hillbilly harp.
Yes, I want to make that clear. Not only do I hear it, but I hate what I hear. Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
That goes along with cancer of the lip and lung disease.
Listen, if protesters show up to the damn show, it's still a crowd, right?
Okay. Who hears that sound and thinks that's an intelligent person? Nobody. You want to make that sound is attached to something that's not doing a lot of thinky stuff. You know?
Play that Ozark mouth twiddler.
That thing that requires no real. Well,
no,
sure
the other one.
God damn. It's really only cool
get off
for,
your sister and play the music.
It's really only cool for part of the song. If it's ever cool.
Right, if that's your main instrument, you gotta know something else.
Yeah.
Often those guys also know washboard.
I think most of them are virtuosos in the skin flute in the right hand, normally.
Dude, they say that it is a lamellophone instrument.
What's that mean?
Lame. It looks like lamellophone, but it's lamellophone instrument? I have no idea.
Is that a one-string instrument?
Rick is now going to hijack the podcast to take us down to Wikipedia rabbit hole.
I am a lot confused.
Lamellophone. Okay, wait, no.
I'll look up the definition and put it on the blog.
I wanted to...
It means small metal plate. Sorry. Not lame. Although it should mean lame. I'm sorry. Okay, anyway.
I wanted to move on.
Yes.
Is what I was trying to say.
That's a good idea.
I was going to do a little weekend recap. But should we skip that and just maybe talk to the band a little?
Yeah.
We just started. Yeah, Rory is already ready for the show to be over.
Do your weekend
I'm
recap.
Learning so much.
I want to hear
Why
this.
Stop now?
No. Well, I mean,
think we're all smarter now, Rory.
I feel more complete.
Who's got an interesting one from this weekend? Kim?
Oh, man. I had a bachelorette party Saturday night.
You had some pretty spectacular pictures
Sarah
there.
Sarah Jean Flanagan is marrying Josh Kaiser from Silver. And we went out and it was amazing.
So
it was such a good night.
Give us the nitty gritty.
We had a party bus and we drove around and we got really, really drunk. Took a bunch of pictures all over Reno and then we went to picnic and like the funniest shit happened. Actually, I can't say it on here. Sorry, I'll get in trouble if I say it.
I'll tell you after.
fun video on the internet where somebody was reciting a poem to the bride to be.
Oh, there was that too.
And in the background, whilst the person's videoing the poem, in the background are two just random stranger chicks who totally like are just staring at the camera and figure out it's taping. And then they start just total video bombing the whole thing. And they're like grooving out with inflatable dolls.
Yeah, those inflatable dolls saw things this weekend. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's pretty much
were they male anatomy or female anatomy?
Male, yeah.
Yeah. It looked like it was a fun party.
Yeah, and then Friday, I don't know. It was a good weekend. I partied a lot. Uh-huh. I don't really remember what I did Friday.
That's good. Especially
partied.
That might be better.
Yeah.
They had a sassabration up in Carson.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, how was that?
That was good. It was good. Roxy Colley's second song, though. All right, the first song, these people came up and they started dancing slow. It was the play I wrote for you. It's a pretty slow song. Aww. And then the next song was the dance hit from The X, the You'll Get Used to Me with the beat.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And so then they started dancing fast, and then she was in sandals, and then she wrenched her foot, and then she fell to the ground, and then everybody was like, what just happened?
Was that just
and
a random person?
Roxy Colley rocked so hard they injured the tourist.
I felt bad for her, then the EMT
it was nobody
had to
we
come.
Knew.
Oh my God.
We shut the concert down till that happened.
Oh no.
You know,
so you guys stopped mid-song and...
Well, we were close to the end, so we almost finished it, but we didn't quite finish it.
How drunk was she?
I don't know.
I'm like,
she might have been from the parade and in the sun all day. Or
Roxy Colley isn't like a punk band. Like,
no. There was like a mosh pit, and
they were just dancing nice. Just at dancing. First.
This chick got stabbed with a spork.
After a certain age, it doesn't take much.
Yeah,
no.
A little hitch in your get along.
No.
I just when hurt. Carson was
Dude.
Getting back on its feet,
I just want to say to that lady out there in the world, I hope you're feeling better. I'm so sorry that happened because you were enjoying our music. And that made me so happy.
Dude, speaking of dancing, I remember finally what I did Friday. Silver played, opened for Scott Pemberton at the Wingfield Amphitheater for Rolling on the River. And this random massive line dancing thing started happening. And we were all looking at each other like over by the merch booth. We were like... I bet they've never had like a giant, like 40-person line dance before at a Silver show.
Wow.
It was weird.
How organically
congratulations.
It was good.
Congratulations,
but weird.
Gentlemen. You have now arrived with the suburban mom crowd. Congratulations. You have arrived.
I hope they have. That place was packed.
Yeah, no, good. Yeah, no, that place looked and like then, pretty stoked.
And then we did the headquarters after party and they did a surprise show and it was packed in there
at
too,
the headquarters,
so.
Yeah,
headquarters we is starting to. Yeah, I saw you guys there. Headquarters is starting to do a lot more live music, so that should be on people's radar.
Yeah, it's a nice little stage.
We were the first.
You were.
Oh, we
were. I was there.
Julian Swigs. Too, huh? We were the very first rock show they had. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. You played with Swigs, huh?
Uh huh.
For the Christmas thing.
I got.
Yeah,
more.
Sounds right.
If we were talking about the Wingfield.
Anyway, yeah.
If we were playing D&D,
no, this is the headquarters bar.
Where's
that?
It's where Singer Social Club used to be, next to Faces and Noble.
I don't
Pride
know any
town.
Of these places. I've so
Cortez.
Lost touch.
El Cortez and Tonic. Next to that.
We had a New Year's Eve show in the El Cortez in the back room. It used to be that theater back there.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was
they
like
have a stage back there now.
93, 94.
It's a gay bar now, and they've restored it beautifully. And there is a nice stage back there.
Ah.
Okay. It's beautiful.
How's the gay crowd?
Did you ever see that movie El Cortez?
Are they
Stitchy?
Clean?
I've heard about it, but no, yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. Wait, there's a movie called El Cortez?
Yeah, El Cortez. And I think, was Lou Diamond Phillips, was he in it?
God,
he might
so.
Have been. But it was,
really?
It was all about the residential hotel and a murder, I think.
I want to look that up tonight. I don't care if it's bad. I want to see it. Anyway.
That's cool.
I want to thank everybody that came out to Sunday services with Reverend Rory and Zach Ryan this past week. Zach and Cody from Donkey Jaw came out and played a little acoustic set. Cody on the cajon, the magic box.
Donkey Jaw.
We had a really good time. It was a good crowd. People showed up.
Did they just do Donkey Jaw songs or did they do Zach Ryan songs too?
Yes.
Nice.
To both.
God, I love that so much.
And some covers too.
Fuck, what cover? Oh, never mind.
A handful. I was bartending, dude. I was working.
God, I love them.
Where was
They're
it?
So fucking cool.
Where do you
St. James Infirmary. Every Sunday, 7:30, we've got live music. Mm-hmm. Next week coming up, we've got Mr. Nick Ramirez and Eric Foreman playing.
Nice.
And that'll just be in a couple days here. It'll be exciting to see any of you make it out to the show. It's a good time. It's low-key.
Did you say Sundays?
Sundays, 7:30. Okay. So we're done by like 10, so people can go to work on Monday. And if you're day drinking, this is just a little entertainment at the end of your day.
Nightcap.
Yeah, nightcap, a little dancing.
I love the Sunday fun day.
I love to come too at a nice.
It's also a
show.
Service industry night, so if you do work in the industry, you get $2 off draft and well. So
nice.
Come on, hit that up, folks.
Sure. Do I count? Do I work at the industry?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I will give you $2 off all well drinks and draft beers. 100%.
Thank you.
I've been in a dusty tree. Does that count?
That sounds awesome.
But yeah, I had a great response from a lot of local musicians. We've got everybody from local singer-songwriters, like the three guys I've just mentioned. We've also got Dave and Dave, a blues combo, two guys doing some standards and some originals and covers. Girl Play, a couple of gals with keyboard and guitar to it, covers from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. So we're a little all over the place. And we do have a special surprise Halloween guest that I'm going to tease out for months. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool, and you'll all really want to see it, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Okay.
But so really, I've had such a great response that we are booked through Halloween, and we have more interest, and I hope that this is going to be a great long series with a lot of great people.
Cool. Holy moly.
Yeah. Couple weeks from now, we've got Mike Metzger, Todd Ballow, and Eric Stanglin coming in. I'm excited about that week. So more to come. Come by and see your good buddy Nick.
Hey,
and,
buddy.
Eric Foreman.
Eric Foreman, really, yeah.
Reno's own Eric
you
Foreman.
Can't, yeah. You can't overstate the tremendous sexual energy that comes from those two men.
Yeah, they just it drips off of them like
guys,
sweat.
Guys, bring your girls there because they're both taken, and so the women will be so worked up from seeing
oh,
them.
Oh, now you're thinking,
and then
Rick.
You take them home, and they'll just like
wait.
Unleash it on you.
Wait, you mean Eric? Because
they will already have thrown their panties at them.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You
yes.
mean Eric Foreman of 3 foot hand?
That is correct.
Dude,
the Eric Foreman
is
of 3 foot
as they come.
Fuck yeah, he is.
And he
holy
comes.
Shit.
Eric
and he comes.
Eric and his nubbin.
What?
Eric has a nubbin. I rub it for good luck.
Like on his head?
Charmed, I'm sure.
You'd be able to hear some Source songs, A-head. Some Stabby Unicorn songs, some Eric songs.
Yeah.
Maybe a Fat Couch song. Yeah.
Astronaut. Mm. It's got to be in the
maybe
rotation.
I could figure out, maybe we could do a Hedwig song.
That could
be
something.
Fun.
I would love a little acoustic song.
Yeah, you guys should call each other and like put that together.
We're
going to
work on
like
it
3 days.
Or, I mean, we're going to work on it in the recent past.
Yeah.
Nick,
we'll
do you
have
ever
been
a day off?
Not really.
Nick, so Nick,
not.
You are also
this month,
you're also
week.
On this album too, right?
Yeah, I'm on Sake by
How
the Lazy
many
Universe.
Bands have you been in that have been on this show, Nick? Is this just a secret vehicle for you to promote your bands?
Yes.
Well, yeah,
not
I mean
so
that
secret.
Was
never been secret.
Never been secret.
It's not Nick's fault that he plays with everybody in town.
It's not Nick's fault. He's a musical slut.
He just gets around musically.
He'll even change instruments. He'll be like, "That's cool. You only have room for drummer. I'll learn drums."
I know. I know. I'm in a band with him where he's playing the drums.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
No.
Are you a musician?
No. I pretend to be one though.
Okay. I'm not an actor, but I play one.
I mimic a musician fairly well.
Rory's turning into a bass player.
But the thing is that Rory is an example of it is easier to teach a friend to play bass than it is to find a bass player you can
That's
be friends
a friend with.
With.
Exactly. Yeah. You hit that nail on the head.
Yeah. But then what's really
But I'm also
me is
not
also
afraid
sings.
Of a stage.
And he sings.
Yeah.
And he's actually pretty damn good.
He's
yeah, he writes
mooey,
their songs too.
Mooey charismatic. Oh,
they're good
well,
songs.
All right.
I like to watch him when he sleeps.
Oh, I've been there. Yeah.
So innocent.
Oh,
so
shout out
and
to the server
so
at Silver Peak. I'm sorry, dear. I didn't get your name. I was at Silver Peak with my wife earlier today, and we were getting our seats, and we were talking to one of the hostesses who was leaving for the day. And she's like, "Wait a minute. Are you Rory?" I said, "Yeah." "You have such a distinctive voice. Rick was just playing your podcast earlier." And I thought, "What? Wait, why would Rick be here?" Rick Baker plays the podcast over at Silver Peak.
No.
So the servers there know
totally.
Our voices.
Yeah.
And I was recognized by my voice. So thank you, Rick Baker. Thank you, server girl who recognized me. And Tyler,
hi,
who
Silver Peak.
Served us.
Somebody's ready for fame.
You guys are rad. Like, that was a fun little... My wife's totally annoyed anytime something like that happens.
Rory, you're receiving the small amount of fame that you are acquiring with ultimate grace.
But it's the first time. It's the first time I've ever been recognized by my voice by somebody I didn't know. Like, that's just, that was
because
odd.
Because they listen to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, yeah.
Which is the surprising part.
Yeah, exactly.
No, no
offense. It's more I'm shocked than I'm gloating. Yeah. Like, the weirdest fucking thing happened.
I've run into fans of the show, and they've been like, God, I love the show. I've heard all the episodes. It's really amazing. And I'm like, holy shit. And then I'm standing there staring at this person thinking, they know more about me than my family does. Last time I had a hemorrhoid. There's so much shit that we talk about on the show that nobody would know. Right. And there was a moment of like creepy. Not that they were creepy, but just like, wow, I don't have any secrets that you don't know about.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You know what kind of porn I like? This is weird. So, yeah.
People know things about us and we don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Or ourselves.
A weekly outing of ourselves.
Maybe you should have a call-in portion.
We always encourage people. You can always call the show. It's my phone or Nick's phone. It's 7:30 on a Monday night, and we will take your phone call.
Or you can write us an email or a comment. I'll read it on air. If you have anything you need to get off your chest, let us know.
If people comment on the website or the Facebook page, we absolutely would read comments on the air. 100%.
Our audience doesn't interact.
They
at
don't.
All.
They don't
we
care.
Know they
we know
you're out
that
there.
People are downloading
your numbers.
Bunch of shy
they don't
ones.
Ever
lurkers.
Do or say anything.
Our audience are lurkers.
Lurkers with laptops, hunched over in a corner in a shadow, just ferociously tugging.
Mouth breathing.
They hear that first. Brownell.
Yep.
Who wants to be famous? They're all, oh, fuck.
Unzipped. Suit. Out comes the joystick.
Hey, thank all the tens of you out there listening to us. We thank you.
Thank you, all the double digits.
And thank you for all of our Patreon donors. Hey, Rick.
I'm one. I'm a Patreon donor.
Yay.
Yeah, $10
thank
a month.
You, Stacey.
Dude, it's not quantity, it's quality. Mm-hmm. One of those people is fucking Stacey Toll. Do you know how much that freaked me out? I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I have arrived.
He talks about it all the time.
I have arrived. Well, no, you and
you're our biggest endorsement to try to get other people to donate
right.
to us.
You're getting royalties.
But, and the fact that one of our interns is also a donor is like.
That's also
that's just sad.
Somebody
is very poor management.
Yeah. Somebody comes to us and works for free, thinks that
he's
this
not
show
an
deserves
intern
money.
Anymore.
He's not an
associate.
Titles.
I love titles. Uh-huh. Who needs money?
He's a production.
I just want a good title.
Titles better than money.
I want to be an associate producer, which is totally different.
But Ian earned his real boy name because he donated to the podcast.
Yep,
for sure. He's so dedicated and so good.
It was either that. It was going to be kind of the brown box, beer box.
Oh, yeah, beer box.
Yeah.
Right.
Kind of a baptism, if you would.
You know what I mean?
So now, Kim, do you know what he's talking about?
No.
That's an...
I'm just nodding my head like
I'm
I
just
this is season one
Stacey knows what I'm talking about.
We used to have this thing where,
nodding?
It's okay to jack off with your friends if you've got a beer box on so you can't see them, but you can't see the porn in front of you.
And you can't make eye contact and you're looking out. Like having blinders.
So it's like blinders. And then the gay... Handmaid's Tale hoods.
And then, yes.
Beer box
it's like a glory hole good. For your eyes. Sweet.
Oh, meta that out and watch porn of a glory hole.
stay classy, guys.
And being the show gay, I don't have to wear a beer box.
Wait, are you the show gay?
No, you're the guy who was standing there with the video camera.
At the time this was being discussed.
Well, I mean,
I was
have
the show
you ever
gay.
Been around for a circle jerk with a bunch of young men?
No, I have not.
It's
I have
the best.
To admit. I don't think orgies count.
I don't know.
Yeah, we haven't done that since season two. No.
I don't know if I buy all that.
What the fuck are you
all
talking
about? All right, season five.
Chewbacca, you know exactly what beer boxing is.
Yeah, you do.
I think you can
that was some behind the scenes ass shit right there.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, God.
Let's hear another song.
Ah,
and cleanse
what a great
ourselves.
Idea.
Cleanse the palate. Yeah.
So, do you guys want to hear Selena's?
That
sure,
sounds good.
Sure.
Do you
want
to introduce it?
Okay.
Set some of these up for us.
All right. This is a song I wrote for my dad. He was a cowboy, he was a team roper. So, kind of grew up on the professional rodeo circuit. He would take me with him. And there was a big rodeo in Salinas that we went to every year. And the song is just about a cowboy that draws a bad bull, and he gets tromped on. And my sister sings backup on it. Nick plays bass. And my dad's voice at the end, he passed away 2 years ago, but I had a voice message from him on my phone.
Oh my God.
And so we were able to put that on the end of the song. Oh. And there's also some wind chimes that are on our front porch that he loved, and Hudson knew that he loved the wind chime, so we put that in the end of the song, too.
Holy crap, I am so glad you set that song up. That was the best setup for a song I've ever heard. Like, I can't wait to hear this. Okay, you guys ready?
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Dude, that was fucking good.
Wow. That's rad.
I love that.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you. Thanks, Nick and Terry and Hudson for making it sound like that. And Tom Gordon.
Yeah.
Tom Gordon.
Tom's so awesome.
Magic Man.
That was so
interesting. Magic Tom.
The body of the song about being about a cowboy getting like stomped on like that. Have you ever heard the old song Blood on the Saddle?
Yeah. I haven't.
It's like, I think it's Tex Ritter.
Uh-huh.
And it's just this slow, quirky, cool song. I've got it on 78 record.
Sweet.
There was blood on the saddle.
Yeah, I think I have.
Anyway, it kind of, it reminded me a little bit of something that, like, Rad. I mean, it didn't sound
it's
anything
another
like
rodeo
that,
song,
but,
though.
But it was like that same kind of thing. And damn, that sample of your dad at the end. That's so
cool. Yeah.
Dude, had to catch
that was a nice little.
Yeah, that was so.
A nice little kind of punctuation just at the end of it.
Yeah.
So short, and it meant so much.
I think Stacey and I should have warned Stacey's sister and her mother when we played them that final track, because we were all listening to it out of the studio. And when her sister Terry, he used to rope with her dad almost every day and stuff, so she like screamed when she heard his voice.
Forgot to warn her.
And ran over to her mom, and they both just exploded in tears. And we're like, what have we done? You know, like the most ultimate too soon asshole, I felt like. So anyway, but now I think they're, after some therapy, I think they're both okay. And they're speaking to us again, so that's great.
Right back in the will.
It was worth it.
Oh, man. And what he says about it being all right, you know, I had a dream. My grandparents both passed away a little over 2 years ago now, and it was a few months ago. I had one of those dreams where like we were coming down the stairs of their house, and everybody's crying and everybody's sad, and we get to the bottom, and my grandpa's just standing there, and he looks at all of us, and he's like, well, "What the hell are you all so sad about?"
Yeah.
And that's what that little sample made me think of.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Yeah. Thanks, man.
All right. Well, open. Hey, I brought Rick.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Is it time for Gift Corner?
I brought
broke my heart.
Rick a present that my mom left here for him.
What's that?
Oh, you didn't say it was from your mom.
Ha ha.
Oh, now I know what it is. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I know what it is.
Of course you do.
Your mom is the best. Okay, this is either some kind of musical instrument or a crucifix.
Maybe it's both.
It's a frozen Jesus Jew harp.
Oh,
perfect for
it.
Summer.
Whiskey flavored.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. God,
well, describe
your
what you're seeing.
Oh,
describe what you're seeing.
You guys, it's a crucifix, and it's made of barbed wire.
It is a handmade item from El Salvador, brought to the United States by a group called, like, I believe, Plowshares or Share Plows, where it's a Catholic group that goes and gets like indigenous, you know, artwork and crap like that people make all over the world, and then sells it to bougie suburbanites, but 80-90% of the profits do go back to the people in the countries making those things, instead of just being turned over into profit for an American company.
Yeah.
They've set up a dummy company to pay people in foreign countries for their handmade stuff. It's really cool.
This is the most perfect gift that anybody could have gotten me. They are so awesome. God, I love your parents.
Well, I want to know where you're going to hang it.
So you can too.
Well, probably on the wall
of
crucifix.
Some of those cats.
Yeah, I mean, where in the wall?
Yes, hold it tightly in your hand when you hang it. Feel what Jesus went through.
Put it on your head.
Stigmata.
Think of it a little crown of thorns for your hands.
The dried blood.
Touch
it.
But you have.
That's the cross.
So you have to think and pray about my mom real hard because, this is just all brought it all up. She's having open heart surgery tomorrow. And as the doctor described it to her, it's like going to Disneyland. Once you pay the price of admission, you don't just go on one ride, you go on like four or five rides. So she's having a quadruple bypass.
Damn.
Yeah, so you have to pray real hard for mom. It's, you know, I mean, this is a routine kind of thing. She's in very good health. She's very young and spry for her age.
And this will keep her young for a lot longer.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's still
scary. It's still major surgery.
It's my mommy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody out there in podcast land, you know, you think real hard on my mom and send all your thoughts and prayers. I'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Is she in Missouri? Is that what she's
St. Louis.
Okay.
St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Sweet mama.
Yeah. And your mom was so cool on the Christmas episode.
Your mom's so cool all the time.
I mean, all the time. That was the last time I got to see her. Yeah. It was the Christmas episode.
She was just
one
in time
of my
to see
favorite
the baby.
Episodes ever. And it was because of your mom.
Yeah. She's awesome. She invented giving me shit.
Awesome.
You gave
the
her
circle is
yours
complete.
First.
Consider that subject covered.
Yeah.
The umbilical cord inside was like your own little personal sewer system. So
well,
you
yeah,
technically
I did
gave
start,
her shit first.
I did start that.
So it's only yes. right that she gives yeah. some back to you.
God, that's a really
but
weird
But she loved you very much.
So
Rick.
Disgustingly scientific.
It is so awesome.
She You're loves like, that she has a religious son in you.
God. Oh.
What a wonderful dude. This is so perfect. I'm so happy. I can't wait to put this up.
Oh, wonderful.
God, how awesome.
This has Aww. Been a moment of healing and resolution.
Yeah. Peeling back the curtain and ripping off the band-aids. You know?
Only the worst little podcast brings forth these emotions and conveys them.
Do we have maybe a peppier song we could go to?
Yeah, any other one.
Uh-huh. And let's talk a little bit about the CD release
on
the 21st. Okay.
Yeah.
Over at Jub Jub's.
Yes,
Jub Jub.
Yes, let's talk about that.
I'm hosting and guesting at the same time. It's pretty fun.
Easy, guys. It's
no, I just mean we as a band should talk about it. What's happening?
He is in the band.
Well, Nick is playing bass with us that
yes,
night.
That's right.
And is it Jub Jub's Saturday, this Saturday the 21st? We're playing with Nick's doing double duty. He's playing drums and 110 dually.
Well, three-quarter 10 dually is what
three
we're calling
quarter
it.
Yeah,
it's
three-quarter
10
right
dually for
them.
I unfortunately will be working over at the Saint.
Oh, who's going to be the
You can always get a different job.
Yeah. Jackson.
Oh. Because
Jackson's actually a far superior bass player to me. Well, just far more experienced and with quite a lot of technical skills in his toolkit.
Well, you will be missed, though.
Totally.
Yeah.
But if you want to come over for a little after party, I'll be at the Saint.
Okay.
You can come hang out with me.
Or you could come to Sacramento and see us because we're playing next week.
Yeah, right. We'll be playing.
Sacramento house party.
Yeah. See, we'll all get to play together for that
Lazy
show.
Universe and One Tone Dooley.
So for this coming Saturday show, the Californios,
the 21st, tomorrow.
Mike Blanchard and the Californios that are
we'll be playing
with us, and
one
they are
3/4 ton dually.
And the Mike Blanchard used to be in the Tattooed Love Dogs, and Vinny will be playing with them too. So members of the Tattooed Love Dogs,
cool,
rad,
will be playing, and they're just they're, and awesome. And
yeah, that's old,
for
the
you old school Reno
Zephyr,
the guitarist, the guitarist from Thin White Rope. Plays with them, and if you guys, they're a great alternative country band in the 80s.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
I have a Thin White Rope, but I don't remember.
But no. You don't. That's for the bedroom.
It made me think of dental floss.
That's what they all say.
Yeah. I went.
And you wonder
I
why
went
you
straight
don't have
to
gates,
autoerotic right? asphyxiation.
Rick hasn't been laid in a while.
But at least he's got a clean mouth.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
You can put anything in this mouth.
Well, it's not clean anymore.
Please.
You've said a mouthful there, Rick.
Oh, but
that
but
was hard to swallow.
And go to
and
will
you have physical copies of the CD available for sale at the show?
We'll have physical copies. We also have download cards for people that don't have CD players anymore.
Yay.
And we're going to be on Spotify
and
Pandora.
iTunes Pandora. And
I will play the crap out of you on Spotify.
Okay,
I play lots of local bands on Spotify.
Oh, awesome. Good. Everybody
so you,
do that.
After 100
Please.
Plays, you will get like a nickel from me.
They'll have to write a check for a nickel to me. I'll put it right next to my first check that I won for barrel racing. It was 13 cents.
Wow. Yeah.
I was like 6 or 7 years old.
13 cents?
Yeah.
13 cents.
She still has it.
13 cents like, wow. Barrel racer. Yeah.
Thanks for nothing.
I have a photocopy of my first check that I ever cashed for writing an article for $27.
Oh, that's big time.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was, I think, 12 cents a word.
More recently, I took a picture of my check and deposited it that way so I could keep it because it was from Bruca for doing Hedwig in the Angry Inch. I played in a professional play and of course I got paid. And I will tell you how much it was. You have to come over and look at the check if you want to know how much I got paid.
What's your home address, please?
He bought a whole six pack of beer with that check.
How dare you?
But it depends on what kind of beer. I mean, it could
Right?
It could be it,
There's a $5.
No, like 20% APV beer.
Pretty fancy production company to belong, you know, to be.
Yeah.
They get grants to pay the musicians and shit. So it's rad, you know. Like that's finally.
So awesome that they've been
the local
doing
theater
it for
scene has come along.
So wait, you guys got paid?
Yeah. Remember Green? Remember when we did Green?
Yeah, no one got paid for that. That was all passion.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. All the plays are passion, but but I was surprised I finally got paid for one. I also saved the checks when I was an extra in a movie, too. I saved those two. Because it's neat.
Cool.
It's kind of neat.
I have the first dollar the podcast made.
Oh, you do?
I do. Remember the
was it from Felix?
No,
it was Brian Cowell.
Brian ding,
Cowell.
Ding, ding, ding! Nick wins 1,000 points.
That's the worst podcast trivia right there.
But yeah, no, I absolutely have that first dollar from Brian Cowell.
I still have the same lint that I did when I was unemployable at 16. It's right here.
Is it in your belly button or your pocket?
Uh-huh. No, that thing's a pig. It'll hog all the lint.
You haven't changed your pants since then.
Uh-huh. It's my good luck lint.
That smells like California.
The Central Valley, like Fresno.
Your belly lint smells like compromise.
And mediocrity.
Smells lonely.
So I understand, Kim, you might want to be heading out.
Yeah, I'm going to take off a little bit early today.
Okay.
Well, we love you, Kimmy.
We
love you, too.
Thank you for
anything we need to know about for this weekend.
No, I'll put everything up on the blog.
Okay.
Anything off the top of your head that you're excited about?
And I haven't even looked. Give a shout out. I'm just like, whatever happens, happens. I've been pretty sick lately, so I've not been going out too much.
Thank you.
But
this is the first time we've really like gotten to chat.
Since my surgery and all that. But yeah, no.
I'm glad you're on the mend.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Good.
Just up and down. But So I'll put anything on the blog that comes up that looks exciting. I know that too. There's some stuff happening that won't be, the podcast won't be out before it. But just to speak to everybody in this room, if you want to come out on Tuesday night to Picnic, this is really, really talented kind of like alt country singer, Caleb Cottle from Nashville is coming to Picnic.
Oh.
And so I'll be there for that for a little while. And Blunderbuss is
Blunderbuss
playing.
Blunderbuss!
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're playing.
That show was so awesome because we were all totally there last night.
I know. So it's not going to be in time for our listeners. But you guys should go to El Salvador to listen to Jen and them.
Where is that?
El Salvador restaurant?
Uh-huh.
It's
where the old Kinko's was.
Yeah.
Across the street from it.
California and Plumas.
Not Plumas.
It's across where the old Kinko's in California was where everybody used to steal flyers and copies.
I used to make so many flyers there.
It's the little shop directly across the street.
I think it is Forest.
It's an El Salvadorian restaurant.
You had to have been a punk rock kid 20 years ago to know where the show is.
Yeah, right.
Text from the address.
For all of us.
It's right next to the deli that just closed.
I know, which is very sad. I love that place.
Oh, Newman's closed?
Newman's just announced that it closed.
No warning or anything.
So sad.
Yeah.
So sad. Dang.
So yeah, it's right that corner right there.
I'll be there. Going there.
I love Reno.
I don't know where anything is. It's just next to that one place. Around the corner from there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will see you guys there, hopefully.
Good. Yes.
Yeah. We'll see you there. Thanks. Yeah.
All right, Kim, we dedicate
love you, Kimmy.
All right.
This next song to you. What's the next song, Rick?
The New Clean, maybe?
The New Clean. Sure.
Anything you want to say about it?
That's a little upbeat. This is, I wrote this song when Hudson and I were first starting to date. He came to visit me in Austin, Texas, and he shaved, and he left some of his whiskers on my sink, and he went back to Portland, and I left the whiskers on my sink till he came back again. So this inspired this song.
Wow.
And Dave Rochelle plays bass on this song, and he used to be in Trance with Hudson and Matt Wage, and he's,
Dave's a sick, sick bassist.
He lives in San Diego now.
Really grateful that he played on two of the songs on this album. He's a total pro.
And I've heard Matt Wages is hung.
Not as much as
Rick, just play the song.
Yeah.
dope, man.
That was pretty heavy and epic.
It was more a beat, but it was still about like missing someone.
Yeah.
This is some good stoner rock.
It's about loving someone. It's about loving someone enough to want to change the sheets, to not clean up their whiskers.
I remember being with a friend who was dating Michelle Bell, and me saying, you know how when somebody is, and we were at the bar that she was working at, and I was like, you know how when somebody you're so into them that it doesn't matter if their feet fucking smell. And he looked at me and he said, that girl is right behind that bar.
Aww. And I would just have to say with me and my wife, well, it does matter if their feet smell. We call each other out for it. Like, you fucking dirty bitch.
I say my wife is quite tolerant of my stinky feet.
Yeah,
I'm a guilty of my, stinky feet.
My wife nags me to clean the house and have better hygiene all the time. And it's exactly what I need because I'm a lazy ass son of a bitch.
Uh-huh. My affectionate name for Stacy is Dog Shit Foot.
That is not.
I'm just kidding.
Sour toe. He sucks my toes.
Sour toe toll.
Sour toe toll.
Toll house cookies. Cookies. Those are chocolate chips, you little rascal.
It's finger food.
Should we get a little history on the many incarnations to get to the lazy universe universe?
So yeah, a lot of our listeners are a little younger on the side of the Reno scene, and they might not know some of the dusty, archaic history that you and we and all know.
Well, this ought to enthrall them then.
Yeah. Let's go down this rabbit hole. This is better than Wikipedia. This is interviewing your elders, children. Children, come gather around the fire.
Well, there was once something in this town. It was in the last millennia when Stacy Toll performed in a genre of music known as punkabilly or cowpunk. Yes, that's it. Sorry, my Alzheimer's sliding sweetly in through my memory loss from smoking weed. And she rocked very hard in the 90s in a band called Gunshot Liquor, which they derived from the liquor store that was next to their sort of jam space. They jammed in a house. They couldn't think of a name.
Gunshot Liquor, form of.
It was the old Fireside Lounge, which is on, it was on 4th and, was it Lake? And we went in there one time and some guy had just been shot. And so we called it Gunshot Liquor. And like, hey, that would be a good name for a band.
The original members of that band being?
It was Reverend Gary Setzer, who,
our good friend.
Having him with us tonight.
Uh-huh. And Bill Goldie. It was a trio. Then we had a violin player with us for a while that played with Elvis Costello. And her name was Marcy Short. Yeah. And she was brilliant. And then Johnny Fingers played with us.
Yeah.
And yeah,
the legendary
John Cajula came in.
John Cajula. Yeah.
And they were like 50-50 because Gary went and he still did bands and he was a preacher and stuff. But he like kind of gave John to you guys, right?
Gary could never play on the weekends because he was a reverend in the wedding chapel. So that's when he made his money. So he'd have to work the weekends there. And so we needed to find somebody that can drum with us on the weekends. And that's when we found John. And then John became our full time drummer.
AKA Caligula.
Caligula. Yeah. Yeah. And that was really fun. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And yourself, sir, what was your Reno musical pedigree from the depths of the grunge rocking in the dive bars?
I've carried amps from such bands as Sprout, Gunshot Liquor, Fat Couch,
Worm,
The Atomics, Worm, Acrylic, Mud Sharks, the Cosmic Freeway. Tattooed Love Dogs came through Reno back in the 90s.
Max
I was
Swanky
just like,
trio.
I figured out that if
you were
the
guy that hung out.
I'm such a fan. I'm such a fan of music and those bands, and I was always up front dancing. I thought I can get even closer if I learn to play the fucking drums. So I picked up some sticks so I could get next to all these cool fucking bands.
Well
and
done.
So, yeah, it's been very. I've lucked out hugely in that department. Got to play with Nick here, our fellow DJ, host, guest, back in the 90s. Actually, Nick and I met at a open mic that Gunshot Liquor was hosting called the Pink Jam.
Yep.
On Virginia Street at the Metamorphosis, which is now called something else.
But Carl's.
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 But it looks exactly the same, dude.
Oh my God. But not same
crowd. Oh boy, I enjoyed your party there, Nick.
Yeah, we had our me and Mikey had our bachelor and bachelorette party there together.
Did you?
Oh, you did?
Carl's.
One of the most,
but I was like,
one of the most
telling her all the stories. I'm all, no, you had to be here when Stacy and they would let you use their shit.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting us, Nick. That was really cool.
And some guy tried to battle. Remember when the guy tried to battle Johnny Fingers on the guitar and he totally sucked, but he tried
Oh, yeah.
They tried to have a string off.
Used to come in there, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and Johnny wasn't really like, concerned about the competition part, but the other guy kind of seemed like he was, and like, oh man, Johnny just slayed.
Maybe I play better than you. Deadly. The devil will give me a gold guitar.
I think why I remember that is because I videotaped it.
Oh, yeah. You have it on video. Yeah. I like to see that.
I would too.
I used to take my camera down there.
That's right. I remember that. I remember the mayor. Who was the mayor at that time? What was his name? He used to come in, and him and his wife would just sit in the corner and make out. And that was pretty funny. Oh, what was his name?
That was his wife.
And Ricky Hendricks, who is Jimi Hendrix's cousin, he used to come in and play. He was great. He was really good. He gave us some legitimacy when he came in.
But I thought it was cool, and also was because it was in the BG Bi-Weekly. That's where I saw it, and so I went to go do it because it was in that magazine.
What's that? The BG Bi-Weekly?
Pete Slovenly.
The Manchetti.
Yeah.
Oh,
he put that
name
out. The BG Bi-Weekly.
Okay.
I didn't know.
I had like maybe 9 or 10 issues of that, but it was a cool little zine, Reno zine.
Red.
And it told you what to go do. And I went to the Pink Jam, and it was supposed to be all ladies doing a ladies open mic.
We try to encourage chicks because they had the blues. Blues jam going on the same night, and we
90s.
Wanted to be the opposite of the blues in every way. So we're like pink,
right.
And then it's always, you know, such a testosterone.
Jam out with your clam out.
I just came down there to like straight spearfish and see. sort of like I, but instead, I met Nick, and so Nick and I kept going to the open mic, and Bill Goldie, Gunshot's bassist, suggested that Nick and I start a band.
That's
like,
true.
Oh, yeah, duh, huh?
Yeah.
So it took us a moment. I started a band called Trance with Dave Rochelle, who we heard on the last track, and my then friend Matt Wage, and he was just a slayer on the guitar. But then
it was good,
Dave
man.
Left.
Trance was rad.
And then we thought immediately, let's definitely grab Nick and see if Nick will play with us. And sure shit, he did.
Yeah, we did that.
So we were in a band called Source for a while.
But part of that progression is because Stacy from the Met, who did the Pink Jam, she went and worked over at the Blue Lamp as a bartender. And Joe was there too or something. And Todd's little bar there, it's Red Rock now.
Yeah.
And they'd have their open mic over there.
Yeah, we changed the open mic to there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Which made a whole bunch of bands
show follow you.
Good move.
Trance was born out of that, and any like weekend shows were always over there, and then they'd always get fucking packed and packed and packed like early.
When I first
early
came to
in
Reno
your
and
career, Hudson, like you had a, like an immediate
when
following.
When I first came to Reno,
40, you know, it's a small benchmark.
But they
to
came
achieve.
Week after week. And it got bigger and bigger.
When I first came to Reno, Pete Manchetti took me out one night to show me the nightlife of Reno, and we walked by the Blue Lamp, and he was like, yeah, here's where all the yuppie, hipster, cool kids hang out on the weekends, but there's, like, good music in here. And we couldn't get inside. I was a broke punk rock kid. There was a $5 cover.
$5 cover in the 90s.
But that
there was no hipsters yet.
Yeah, that wasn't a word, but it was.
I was like, yuppie.
Yeah.
I think Shrew was working there then, and everybody I knew
probably,
was on heroin.
Yeah.
I don't think that's like
there was
they're just on whiskey.
There was too many drugs.
Or no, Jägermeister.
There wasn't. Yeah,
there wasn't a drug that wasn't done in that bar. Usually at the employee parties, which Todd would host in the basement, where it was like this legitimate old speakeasy / sex slave area. And out came the bags of mushrooms that were complimentary with your whatever, just being there.
Paycheck.
Yeah, there's a separate auxiliary bar down there with Steve Fote, like juggling like bags of weed and flexing and stuff. laugh. It was so fun.
His weed would be wrapped in fishnet shirts.
Yeah, totally.
It's so hot.
I know. He dressed like he chugged paste, but as it turns out, he actually didn't.
Not really. Like, I mean, if you took Steve from back in the day and dropped him into RuPaul's Drag Race, he'd have a shot.
I know I can bend it in.
I'm bringing it back around, Stacey. So, like, when Gunshot breaks up, tell me about the next part. You go to Austin or
Yeah, but after Gunshot broke up, my thing keeps going out here, so I can't really hear myself. Moved to Austin, and Tony Rosa and I started a band called The People Versus De La Rosa.
Yeah.
So we played in Austin for a while, and that was really, really fun. But we didn't really try to do anything with it. We just were pretty casual about it and didn't try to, you know, really
keeping
make it.
Your foot
I got
in
to
the
play
door.
With you when you came to Reno at the Green Room.
And we played, yeah, we played and played at the Green Room, and we called it.
That was cool music.
We called it Astroza.
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 Yeah. This is part just, De La Rosa, yeah, there, and part was, astronaut.
Ooh. I'm so glad I wore underwear. I'm sure you are too, Rick, aren't you?
I'm disappointed.
We've got some technical problems at
we're fixing those headphones situation, but
it's just
keep going
it goes in and out. That's okay. So then yes, that does. Broke up, and then Hudson and I we met each other working on Nowhere Nevada again. We knew each other back in, you know, from the 90s, and our bands played together, and that's
I'll
where the romance
forget.
Kind of started, and then the music came from there. So that's what started. And then we were playing with Milan Luna, who used to live here in Reno, who lives in Austin, Texas now, and she's great musician.
She was
Milan's
in a band called Platypus.
Yeah,
she with Dan Ovick on drums.
Platypus was a cool band.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember them.
They were awesome.
Yeah, and so we played with her for a bit, but like her moving to Portland, you know, she liked Austin, wanted to stay there, and. Yeah. And then we just started playing with, you know, to do the rest of the recording. We incorporated our friends here, Nick, and we got Dave, and my sister sang on some tunes. And
why Lazy Universe?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I was watching a nature show that was hosted by a British actor, I guess, of. I don't know him, but maybe somebody does. But anyway, he was talking about the Earth and how it's formed. So the first sort of opening scene is overhead shot looking downward over hexagonal cliff tubes on the north end of Ireland. And
the giant's staircase.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he was talking in that episode about how often that shape shows up. It shows up in a honeycomb. It showed up there. It showed up there because originally it was lava, and when it cooled, the universe takes the most efficient route, which in many cases turns out to be the hexagonal shape. It shows up all the time. If you pop a group of bubbles, for instance, from the outside, it'll make that shape for the ones that are still connected. So he was saying, you know, the universe is lazy. So that's the, you know, it always takes the easiest route.
Carbon bonds. We will describe that in hexagonal shapes in chemistry.
He didn't have to diss the universe, though.
Well, it's, you know, he said it sort of tongue-in-cheek. It's a very English thing to say if it doesn't require a lot of work, you know, and pompery and pageantry, then it's just sort of lazy. So anyway, so we decided to call us the Lazy Universe because of that. Because it's sort of tongue-in-cheek. We have nothing but respect for the design, for the flawless, you know, no waste, at least here on Earth.
Efficiency
of life and how it manifests. It's mind-blowing to us, and so we wanted a sort of band name that gave homage to our design.
And we're also a little bit lazy.
It was like I was watching TV, universe, so. I was smoking weed, and I was like, yeah, you see the universe lazy.
Dude, I love it. Deep. I love the name.
I think it fits the music.
I need to be more like the universe.
I need to be more lazy.
Make it shit fancier than it needs to be, you know?
Let's hear more of their music then.
Oh, what a good idea. Would you guys like to hear...
In the Dust and the Weeds. It's the long one, so it'll probably be the last track we maybe play. but it's the cool psychedelic one.
Cool. Yeah, you want to go to Pink Floyd Land? About it?
Yeah, Pink Floyd.
Or do we want to like go out on that and just wrap up the show right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we do that?
If we're gonna do that, there's one thing that I wanted to bring up to especially to this group of people.
Yeah.
Okay. I was listening to. I'm a huge fan of Last Podcast on the Left, which is like one of the number one podcasts in the whole country. Right.
Mm-hmm.
This last, and they do shows on cryptids and aliens and serial killers and all kinds of dark stuff. And I'm sure everybody knows about that, but. Recently, this last series that they did was a three-part series on the Men in Black. And one of the first things that they said in the first episode...
No way, dude.
Is that one of the main sources for the entire series is the book, Casebook on the Men in Black,
by Jim Keith. Oh, goddamn.
JK.
They are constantly referencing Jim Keith, and they do that with every author that they do a special on, but every time they reference it, I picture the guy that would sit next to me on the bar stool at Planet Nine. And I'm like, and I want to reach out to them.
And talk about how women were Ming vases. They're supposed to be put up on shelves and admired, but not really interacted with.
To be fucked, oh, not heard.
That was a pickup line of his. I watched him use on like a 23-year-old girl.
He's like, really? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Okay.
Jim. At his wake at George Picard's, do you remember we were talking about him, talking about Jim, and just kind of how he passed.
Yeah,
and
fallen off a stage.
And there was a candle in a glass candle tube, and it broke right then as we started talking about him. We're like, he doesn't want us to talk about him.
No, wow. And he didn't die when he fell off the stage, man. They took him to the hospital, and then he died.
Knew he was in
that was
because
gonna say,
the Men in Black didn't want him talking anymore.
Well, and I loved
the inciting incident, man.
I loved that he did that, and he fell off the stage, and he didn't go right to the hospital, and it got worse than it needed to be, and he ended up passing away from it. And then after all of that, I remember thinking, God damn it, why wouldn't you just go right to the fucking hospital, and everything could have been better? Yeah. And then the newspaper, I forget, I think it was
there was a report on Extra, a week and a half later. You remember that stupid Fox show, Extra, with the big 3D letters? Yes.
And it said, conspiracy writer dies under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah. I was so happy.
It was so appropriate.
And you're next.
He goes out.
And then they have video of Jerry. Jerry going, yeah, no, like nobody knows what really happened because nobody was allowed in that room.
Yeah. I think we all know what happened, but the rest of the world could think it was a conspiracy. Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Sell more books.
So appropriate.
His daughters need, leave his daughters some more.
Yeah.
Inheritance. That's good.
I still have a T-shirt that he gave me all those years ago.
Wow. Hudson, are you giving us the wind? Do you know what that means on the show?
Is that like the crickets? Yeah, I think this is deliberate.
Oh, yeah, he's been on the show before. all right, Rick.
We listened to your stupid past history.
I just want to reiterate, everybody go to Jub Jub's on Saturday the 21st.
Next time.
You can get the Lazy Universe online, CD Baby, iTunes. You can listen to it on Spotify and all those things.
Sunday the 22nd.
Google us.
Sunday the 22nd. Come out and see Nick Ramirez at St. James Infirmary with Sunday services. It's going to be a good time.
That's what's coming
up. Eric Foreman. Other than that, it's Reno. It's the summertime. There's literally too much going on for us to list in an episode.
That's right.
Just read about it in the podcast, in the blog space. But go out, spend some money on local musicians and artists. Go out, spend some money at local restaurants. Have a lot of fun. And
get away from your TV.
Yeah, we will see you next week. For Nick Ramirez, Cadillac Kim, Dogwater Dick, Chewbacca, and all the interns, this has been another great episode with the Lazy Universe. Life is short, and I love you, ladies. Good night.
Thank you.
On the worst little podcast, we're talking out of our ass.